Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread
Jesus,
Bible Studies with David
you.
Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. We want to continue with our study in Psalms 119. It's awesome. You know, Psalm 119 has 176 verses in it, and all but four of those speak of the Word of God. They speak of the Word as the law, the testimony, the judgment, the statutes, commandments, precepts, the word, or ordinances, or the way. There's only four verses that don't speak of those different attributes of God's word. Verse 90, verse 121, 122, and 132. The rest all do. And Psalms 119 is the largest chapter in the Bible. And it's quite encouraging, you know, as far as us learning to walk in His Word and in grace. You know, when we read these verses today, let these be your prayer to God, your praise to God. You know, enter into these verses. These are actually given by the Holy Spirit that we might know what is an acceptable prayer to God. Okay? Or an acceptable praise to God. So, when we share these verses, let them be yours. We left off in verse 137. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord. And upright are thy judgments." Well, you know, the Lord is right, and He does right. His judgments are correct every time. You know, in verse 128, it says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." You know, the Lord is right every time. You'd be surprised what this will protect you from. You know, Job was a righteous man. He walked in the Lord. He had faults he didn't see, didn't know. But he was a righteous man. But one thing, because of it, the hardships that he was going through, caused him to question the Lord. And the Lord spent four chapters of the book of Job, straightening Job out of him questioning him. He pointed out his lack of knowledge of things. He pointed out his lack of being there when the creation happened, and on and on and on. And for four chapters, God just went on about what Job didn't know. You know, the problem with us is we think we know enough to question God sometimes. But if we decide, no, God's always right, He's always good, He always does what's supposed to be done, then we will come to the place where Job came, you know, in Job 42, after God answered him about what he knew and what he had done and his knowledge. And Job answered the Lord. He said, "I know that thou canst do all things, that no purpose of thine can be restrained. And who is this that hideth counsel without knowledge?" He's speaking about himself here. "Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So back to our 137 verse. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." If we start out with this and we contend with this and we hold fast to this, we will be delivered of quite a lot of temptations. 138, "Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and very faithfulness." You know, the Lord's testimonies, they are all righteous, and he gave them to us in faithfulness. They are his owner's manual, you know, so to speak. You've heard the old saying, you know, if we got a car and we got an owner's manual and we don't obey the owner's manual and we don't treat the car in such a way that it will last and be preserved and continue running, it's kind of like us not paying attention to God's testimonies, to his word, because they were given in righteousness. They are right. They are what we need for our life. And they were given in faithfulness. His way of preserving us, of blessing us, of showing us how that this life is supposed to be lived. He knows what he's doing. He says, "My zeal hath consumed me because mine adversaries have forgotten thy word." It's so true. You know, we see in the life of Jesus, for instance, you know, and in the life of John the Baptist, for instance, you know, their zeal concerning people who were supposed to have known better, but had forgotten his word, had turned away from his word, or were only using parts of it that would justify their self-righteousness. And, you know, we still have that feeling today about people who are supposed to know better, but have departed from God's word. And verse 140, it says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." It is pure. It's a finished work. When we put it all together and we don't just pick and choose verses, it's a finished work. "I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts." Well, for that very reason that we are small and despised, do we need God's precepts? They strengthen us. They cause us to be someone we could never be otherwise. They are God's ability to live in us and through us. When we put the Word in us, we enable God to live in us because he is the Word. "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." You know, God's truth sets the captives free. It is the sword of the Spirit, right? I shared with a couple yesterday how that they needed to take the sword of the Spirit because their spirit man needed strength against the flesh man, strength against the devil, strength against the enemies who were plundering their soul. We need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Many people are defenseless against the attacks of Satan day in and day out. They wonder what they want God to deliver them, but they don't want to be used of God to be that vessel to deliver themselves. And God says, take the sword of the Spirit. He wants you to have truth. Jesus said the truth would set you free, right? "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight." Well, you know, if the commandments are our delight, we'll be delivered of the trouble and anguish. The gospel is what God gave us to receive the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. We get our deliverance from trouble and anguish because we believe what he says. "Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, and I shall live." We see grace in this. The Holy Spirit is showing us that we cannot do this alone. We need the grace of God. And in other words, his unmerited favor. The psalmist, whoever wrote Psalm 119, I really don't know who did it. I don't think anybody actually does. But whoever wrote it This is the perspective. You give me, Lord, understanding, and I shall live. You know, if God gives us grace, we shall live. We have a right to ask for this. The Holy Spirit wrote this so that we would know that we should ask God for this. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I have called with my whole heart. Answer me, and I will keep thy statutes. Wow. Once again, we're seeing grace here. It seems like the psalmist is answering something that the scriptures already spoken about back in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. I'm going to go back just a little bit and read the text a little bit, maybe verse 27. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations, whither the Lord shall lead you away. And, you know, we were just speaking about, just a few minutes ago, about God's people being led into captivity to the nations, and how that through patriotism and our respect for the nation that we're in, we become idolatrous in the way with that nation, and we forget the nation that we actually belong to is New Testament spiritual Israel. And so we've been taken captive to these nations, but in these days God is calling us out of the nations exactly as he did his letter people, physical Israel. He's calling us out of the nations to go back to our one holy nation that Peter spoke of, which is New Testament spiritual Israel. We are a part of our New Testament Israel. And so he's calling us out of the nations, right? And verse 28 says, and there shall you serve gods, that is when you're in captivity to the nations, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And of course, people all over the world are in bondage to the works of their own hands, and they worship them, and they take care of them, and they spend their money on them, and so on and so forth. But verse 29 is, I think, the whole point that the psalmist is getting to. And it says, but from thence you shall seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him when thou searchest after him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In these days, when God is about to bring his people out of captivity to all the nations to be a one people, in the spiritual land of Israel, in these days, God's going to do this. You're going to find him, he said, when you search after him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, in the latter days thou shalt return to the Lord thy God, and hearken unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not fail thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Yes, the covenant that he made with us, with the early church fathers, the great privilege that they had to walk in the steps of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, in the knowledge of the word, that the church has totally departed from. Now that we are coming into tribulation, I believe that there are going to be a multitude of people who are going to do like the psalmist says, and that is call upon the Lord with their whole heart, and he is going to answer them. And so the psalmist knew this promise, I believe, and so we see here, I have called with my whole heart. Answer me, O Lord. See, that he is fulfilling the condition here. Are you calling upon him with your whole heart? If you do, he will answer you. That's what he said. And he will bring us out of captivity, and he will bring us to his spiritual Zion. And, of course, he said, I will keep thy statutes. Amen. This is what the Lord is calling us to do, friends, is to keep his statutes. And he will keep his word. We seek him with our whole heart. He will answer us. He said, I have called unto thee, save me. I shall observe thy testimonies. Amen. 147. I anticipated the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy words. You know, here's someone who is sorry that the morning is coming. Why? Well, 148 says, mine eyes anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. Here's the idea of drawing close to the Lord in the night when things are quiet, when there aren't other responsibilities that the daylight usually brings to people, making a living and all these other things that distract you from the Lord. But he said, I anticipated the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy words. Mine eyes anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on the word. So this is a person that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness, who is skipping sleep in order to draw near to the Lord in a time when it's quiet, in a time when there's not the distractions of the world. Praise God. This is a person that really is hungering and thirsting after God. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. You know, the word quicken, as we've discovered, means make me alive. Young's Concordance says to keep or to preserve or to give life to. Yes, we cry out to the Lord to give us the life of Jesus Christ. He already did that on the cross, and now we have a right to this life. God made an exchange. He gave us the life of Christ. He took our life and nailed it on the cross. And now we have a right to believe him for it, to ask him for it and to believe him for it, right? He said, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. In other words, in agreement with your word, right? We have a right to believe for anything God has promised in his word. We should stand upon it. We should speak it. And we should never be double-minded about asking him for it. They draw nigh that follow after wickedness, or that persecute me with wickedness. They draw nigh. Well, I think right now is a really good time that this verse would be spoken, because this is exactly what's happening. The beast kingdom is about to become one, to join together to persecute the saints, as they have in past ages. The last and final fulfillment of all the prophecies and all of the history, which always repeats, is about to start. And the wicked are drawing nigh, and they are far from thy law. You know, the other day I was asking the Lord about a circumstance, a situation that was approaching. You know, the whole world is coming against God's saints, and the wicked among God's people, who are a part of the world and are a part of the beast, are coming against God's saints. And I was asking the Lord about it, and he gave me Isaiah 36 and verse 10. And this is, of course, where Rabshakeh, the general of the Assyrian army that was coming against Israel, came up to Jerusalem and was basically railing at them with his threats. He said, and am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. I know that most people think this is a lie, but the truth is, the Lord works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he also does it in his vessels of dishonor. He used the Assyrians, as Isaiah chapter 10 says, to chasten his people and to bring them to repentance, and then he chastened the Assyrian and destroyed their army. So here's this, the threat, the beast's threat against God's people who are in Jerusalem. Hezekiah was king at the time, and they brought this word unto Hezekiah. And Hezekiah brought the word to Isaiah the prophet. And if you go down to 37 and 3, it says, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of contumely, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. And of course, it was a time of bearing fruit, but the beast kingdom had conquered the northern 10 tribes and conquered Judah and now was threatening Jerusalem. And it was a place where the man-child was about to escape. The fruit was about to be born, and so on and so forth. And so Hezekiah shares this complaint with Isaiah. And it goes on to say, "It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayers for the remnant that is left." So the servants of the king of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land." And you know, we're not to pay attention to the threats of the wicked, to the threats of the beast. As Isaiah said, they have no authority against those who walk holy, as in Zion. They have no power. They draw near, you know, as the psalmist said, but they are far from God's law, and God does not defend them. It says in verse 150, back in Psalm 119, it says, "They draw nigh that follow after wicked." But verse 151 says, "Thou art nigh, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true." You know, the commandments defend us from the beast. They give us the authority that Isaiah, who spoke the word of the Lord to the people, to pay no attention to the threats of the beast, and to the devil, and to the world, and to the about the curse, and so on and so forth. We're to pay no attention to that. We're to pay attention to God's commandments. We're the Lord is nigh unto us. He's our Savior. He says, all of thy commandments are true, and the truth sets free. It saves. It delivers. It heals, and so on and so forth. We're to pay no attention to the world. We're to pay attention to our God, right? "Of old have I known from thy testimonies that thou hast founded them forever." You know, in Matthew 25 and 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." God's word is eternal. Everything else that can be shaken will be shaken, and everything else will pass away. In that very text, right below that verse, he speaks of Noah and being in the ark. These are a people who are a product of the word, who are preserved by God from the beast kingdom. And the word that is eternal has given them eternal life. That word manifested in them is eternal life. It is preservation. It is deliverance. It is salvation. It is all of these things. And we need to remember it. That's why this chapter, I believe, is so important. And 153 says, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." So this is a reason for God to consider our affliction and not deliver us. This is another one of those verses you can turn around, right? If you don't forget God's law, he will consider your affliction and he will deliver you. He said, "Plead thou my cause, and redeem me." This is, of course, a Holy Spirit prayer that we know we can pray. "Quicken me according to thy word. Make me alive according to your word." Life is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." Even in the church, you know, most often In the Psalms, they're not speaking about the wicked of the world so much as they are the wicked that are around them. David spoke often of the persecutions that he received from his own brethren, and he called them the wicked. The Bible says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. They seek what? Justification by many other things, by their works, by their religion, by who they're associated with, by their parents, you know, on and on and on. Many other things. Something that they do that other people don't do, but they seek not the statutes of the Lord, right? The statutes of the Lord were meant to be in us, who Christ is in us. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thine ordinances. God's ordinances is what he uses to give us life, to preserve us, to keep us. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. Many are my persecutors and mine adversaries, yet have I not swerved from thy testimonies. You know, the persecutors and the adversaries come against us. It's a most opportune time for us to get in the flesh and to miss God. We're tempted quite often to get in the flesh and to do something physical that's contrary to God's will when people are persecuting us. But if we don't swerve from his testimonies, God will be our defender. You know, if we don't defend ourselves, if we don't fight for ourselves, God will be our defender. You know, it's in our weakness that God's power is made perfect, he says. He told the Apostle Paul, right? Praise be to God. Yet have I not swerved from thy testimonies. I beheld the treacherous and was grieved, because they observe not thy word. Amen. It's always grieving, you know, when the treacherous, especially the treacherous among God's people, do not observe or do not keep his word and don't have a conscience to keep his word. And it's very confusing to look upon. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy mercy. Make me alive according to your mercy, Lord. This is a good Holy Spirit-filled prayers here. The sum of thy word is truth. Many people ask me this. I think maybe lots of folks who are used to using maybe the King James or whatever, they ask me, where's that verse, you know, Psalm 119 and 160. The sum of thy word is truth. Many Bibles that go back to the ancient manuscripts, that come straight off the ancient manuscripts, not lesser copies, like, for instance, the Amplified. It has the same. It speaks it the same. The sum of thy word is truth. The NIV is very close because it goes back to the ancient manuscripts. Well, the awesomeness is that, you know, when I first started getting the revelation of the Lord, and I very quickly went through one religion and then another one, and I asked the Lord, who's got the truth out there, Lord? Where is it? The Lord pointed out to me. In fact, he led me to visit different churches of different Christian religions, and he told me not to be captured by any of them, but to notice what was going on there, how that they had grabbed a piece of the truth, but that they could not recognize their brother's piece of the truth over in this other denomination, and it separated them, and that they never really could grow up because they were picking and choosing verses instead of just accepting everything the Bible says, and that if I didn't get caught up in an idolatrous situation with one of these, I could be free to accept all of God's word and to grow in him and not be stunted in my growth. And this is one of the words the Lord brought to me. The sum of thy words is truth. He really brought it home to me that there is no truth when you pick a piece or a part of it out of the context. The truth is the whole thing. And that he taught me how to study things. And, you know, I did when I was very young in the Lord, I did a study on baptism, and I looked up everything the Bible said about baptism. And you know what? You don't have to make up your mind too early. You, in seeking the Lord, consider that everything he says fits together. And you don't want to pick a piece out of a puzzle and say, this is the truth, because that's not the truth. You have to put that in the puzzle and look at the whole picture to say, this is the truth. Denominationalism is sectarianism, and it by its very nature, it picks pieces of the truth. And they cannot ever find the truth that way, and the truth is what sets us free. So the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. Every one of God's words are truth, and they are eternal. And if we want eternal life, we have to accept all of them into ourselves, because each one of them is a piece of God's eternal life. But together they are truth. Amen. And he says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy words. Amen. You know, when we are held fast by God's word, when we're restrained by God's word, when we're persecuted by the wicked around us, even people in authority like princes, or people in power like princes, you know, when we're restrained by God's word, it doesn't mean that we will do without, or that we will be conquered, or anything of the sort. It reminds me of when God basically restrained Israel to donkeys. He refused them to go and buy horses. You know, they many times came against armies of peoples that were using horses, and they were using donkeys. I never remember Israel losing a battle because they were restrained to this weakness, because in their weakness, God was made strong. I never remember Israel losing a battle when they were in the minority, because in their weakness, God was made strong. I remember him in the Gideon situation, whittling Israel down to 300 men to go against an army that was as the sands of the sea for multitude, so that Israel wouldn't vaunt themselves against me, saying that by their own hand that they had done this. God purposely puts us in a position of weakness through obedience to his words, so that the power that we receive to conquer our enemies is his power. And so even though we're persecuted by people that are greater, have more authority, but if we hold fast to God's word, we will have his power. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Oh, I do too. I love the word of God. I love to find the nuggets, the treasures that God has hidden in there for us. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. I love to see those awesome things he's hidden for us in there. I search for it as for treasure, right? I hate and abhor falsehood, but thy law do I love. You know, we can ask the Holy Spirit to put a love in our hearts for God's law, his truth, his word. This is a grace that he gives unto us, and we should do it daily. I've recounted many times how I asked the Lord, please, Lord, open my understanding. Please give me truth. And the Lord did that for me. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Amen. You know, we should be very, very grateful for what the Lord has given unto us. These ordinances will give us eternal life, deliverance from our enemies, preservation from the beast, the righteousness of Christ through the good news of those ordinances, his promises, his blessings. In 165, great peace have they that love thy law. Peace, rest, security, comes from loving God's word, and they have no occasion of stumbling. People that love his word have no occasion of stumbling. Praise God. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love him, you'll love his word. You can't separate Jesus from his word. I see now quite often religious people have been taken by some spirit and they follow, quote, the spirit. But it's totally contrary to the word. They don't realize that this is another Jesus. They've been led astray by a false Jesus. I have hoped for thy salvation, O Lord, and have done thy commandments. Praise God. My soul hath observed or kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. And of course, a person doesn't love them if he doesn't keep them. Just like if you don't love Christ, you're not going to keep his commandments, right? I have observed thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. You know, it's true. Everything we do is seen of the Lord. And I think that many people don't keep the testimonies because they're not seen of men. But you know what? The Lord sees us. He sees us all the time. Who are we living for? The Lord observes everything we do. And who are we living for? If we don't keep his commandments when we aren't seen of men, then we don't love the Lord. Or we don't think he's looking. And the fact is, he is. You know, the Bible is very plain. We have not because we ask not. If we listen to the Holy Spirit teach us to pray for grace, for instance, in these following verses that we're about to read, we understand what the Holy Spirit wants us to pray for. You know, when we receive the gift of tongues, it's the Holy Spirit making intercession for us in groanings that cannot be uttered, and according to the will of God. You know, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. Well, these are just as perfect as tongues because these are written by the Holy Spirit. We know we can pray them. We know we can pray them with confidence. We know that we're asking according to the will of God, and we know that we have the petitions which we've asked of him. And this, the whole rest of this chapter is about grace, asking God for things that normally men think that they can do. Normally they think that they can handle this. But we have not because we ask not. We ask God for the things that we think we can do, but that we fail in quite often. And if we ask for his help, obviously he will help us. So the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us grace here, a revelation of faith giving grace to us. You know, 169 says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. In other words, hear my prayer, Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Amen. Give me understanding. You know, many people with their mind search for understanding. And there are many scholars, quote, who think they know a lot about the Lord. But the Lord teaches wisdom, and he gives it by his Spirit. And you can't intellectually seek out the Lord. He is the only one that can give this knowledge. He has hidden it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. There are people that seek with their mind to be intellectually understanding of the Lord and his kingdom, and yet he can only be spiritually known. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you the truth. Scholars can seek for it and not know him at all. I was watching recently a documentary on TV about who Jesus and his disciples were and about the Bible, and it was totally reprobate. They had picked scholars to teach, you know, about the Bible, and they were denouncing the Bible as much as they were standing for it. They were speaking against God, speaking against Jesus, and yet they claimed these people were Bible scholars. Well, they were reprobates, I can tell you right now. They knew nothing of the Lord. Their knowledge was purely intellectual. They received this, you know, their credentials because they went to Bible school and found out things about God, but they didn't know God. And it was obvious that they had no respect for His scriptures. So you can seek out God according to, you know, intellectual fervor, you know, for sometimes wrong reasons, even, you know, to be a scholar, to be an authority, to be respected. Many people look at a minister as a job, a good paying job in some cases, you know. But those people aren't qualified. Not a one of them is, and they don't know God. You know, Jesus picked those ignorant fishermen because they knew they needed God. They knew they had to follow God, and they did. They followed Jesus, and He gave them wisdom. And you walk with wise men, and you'll be wise, the Bible says. But the companion of fools shall smart for it. Let my supplications come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy word. Amen. In other words, as Your word promises, O Lord. We remind the Lord of what His promises are, right? Deliver me according to Thy word. Let my lips utter praise, for Thou teachest me Thy statutes. Let my lips utter praise. Isn't that something that we can handle, Lord? You know, we'll handle the things we can handle, and Lord, You handle the things we can't handle. We can't handle anything. That's the point. He's telling us to pray for grace, right? Lord, let my lips utter praise. Praise is powerful. Praise destroys the enemy, according to Psalm 149. Even the youngest disciple has power through praise to destroy and scatter the enemies. You remember Jehoshaphat's army? He went out, you know, with an overwhelming enemy against them. And they went out with praisers out in front of the army. Dangerous thing to do. And yet God took the kings of the north, south, and east and totally destroyed them, killing one another off. He said, you won't even have to fight in this battle. They just went out praising God, destroyed their enemies. You know, that's why I say this is something we need to pray. The Holy Spirit is showing us that we need to pray this. You know, let my lips utter praise. Praise is halal, which means to brag on what the Lord has done. We should go out speaking faith about what God has done for us. He has delivered us. He has blessed us. He has healed us. He has done all these things. He has conquered our enemies. He has given us the victory. You know, let our lips speak this faith, this praise before God, and not just in church. You know, some people call that praise, you know. But Thou teachest me Thy statutes. This is the things we have to brag on God about, these things that God has given to us. Let my tongue sing of Thy word. You know, all of this Psalm 119 was meant to be sung. The Psalms were meant to be sung. I know when you put them in English, they don't quite have the same melody, you know, obviously. So it's very hard for us to take the English and put it into song. Sometimes people are successful in doing that, but it's meant to be sung. It's very easy to remember when you can sing it. You remember the verse very well that way. But he says, let my tongue sing of Thy word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Amen. Give us grace, Lord, to sing praises unto You and to sing the promises of Your word. Let Thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. Amen. The Lord, you know, He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord for everything. Ask the Lord for His help. Ask him to be ready always to help you. And, of course, he will. I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. And thy law is my delight. Amen. That's what you desire if you delight in the law of the Lord. You desire God's salvation. That's what it is, you know. Salvation, of course, is very, very broad. It's deliverance, it's healing, it's preservation, it's salvation in spirit, soul, body, circumstances. It's a very broad word in the Scriptures. And if you delight in His law, you'll be rich in God's salvation. I had a gift when I was young to delight in the law. I loved the Word of the Lord. I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't put it down. I couldn't walk away from it. I had an anointing upon me to desire to find out things about God. I never had such a thing in all of my life to find out about anything else. Never had that. Never was a studious person before I picked up the Bible. And God anointed me with this delight of His law. And I tell you, God was saving me from everything, not because I was necessarily searching out the salvation, but because I was searching out Him. Things were just falling off of me. You know, the drugs that I used to do as a young man just fell off of me. The desire of them, the power of them fell off of me. The life of sinning and living a drunken life and all these things just fell off of me because I was delighting in His law. His salvation was becoming natural to me. And I really didn't recognize that I was seeking out His salvation. It was that I was rewriting His word upon my mind, you know. I was being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I was beginning to think differently. And this is the very basis of God's salvation, is to think differently. I tell you, you find somebody that hungers after the Word and delights in the Word, sin will just fall off of them. The curse will just fall off of them. Ask God for this gift. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Yes, give us the grace, Lord, to have life. If you give us life, Lord, we'll praise You. It will come natural to us. And let Thine ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. This is the strangest to me verse in all Psalm 119. Not that it's wrong. It's just a departure from everything else in there. He says how often he loved and he ran after the statutes of God. And finally, he comes to one place where he talks about his failures, and it's the very last verse. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Come and find me, Lord. Find me out of all my traps. Find me where I need you. And draw me out of the foolishness that I'm in, the destructions that I've brought upon myself because of my thinking. You know, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. For I do not forget thy commandments. You know, you may be in some of these traps today, you know. Some place where you really don't have a solution, but the Lord does. And ask Him to seek you out and to draw you out and to deliver you. But don't forget His commandments, because this is the method quite often that God is going to use to bring you His salvation, His deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, I think the greatest message, you know, in Psalm 119 is that we can go to God by grace. We can ask of Him to give us this love for His commandments, His word, His precepts, His testimonies, His judgments, His statutes, etc., 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 ordinances, so and so. We can ask Him to give us a love for these. God will be our Savior, our Deliverer, our Provider. He'll keep us through the persecutions. He will do all these things for us. And, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us this gift, this anointing, Lord, to first of all love your commandments above everything else, every hobby, every plan, every ambition, Lord, to love your commandments, to keep them constantly before our face that we might not sin against you, especially when we're faced with our enemies, Lord, that you would give us the gift to love your commandments and to not depart from them for any price. Lord, this is what we ask. Lord, you give this gift. You give this gift to make people totally faithful to your word, that they can't be bribed by fear, by money, by anything to depart from your word. And yes, Lord, in some ways, all of us have gone astray from you. Please seek us out in our hiding places. Please cause us to give every compartment of our soul over to you, Lord, that we might have life. Lord, there are places in our hearts that we don't give over to you, either because of fear or because of ignorance. But we're asking you, Lord, to seek us out, to find us in those hiding places, to open the revelation to us that we might have more of you in every part of our life. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to let Psalm 119 fully be manifested in us, these prayers that we have prayed before you, Lord, that you would answer them, these prayers that your Holy Spirit has given unto us that we might know we have a right to come to you with. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to manifest them to us, to give answer to them for us. Lord, we ask you to constantly bring to our lives, Lord, the desire to seek out your word, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to know what your commandments are, and to rewrite our minds, our thoughts, with your commandments so that we might be transformed, Lord. Lord, we want to be your servants, yet we know that only your word in our heart can serve you, because we know that your word in our heart is Jesus in us. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that we might serve you and that Christ in us would do the work through us and that your word manifested in our hearts will do this. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, we love your word. We confess it out loud. We believe it. We keep it. We confess these things by faith, even as the psalmist did. We confess these things by faith because we've been given the free gift of righteousness, according to Romans. So we love your word, Lord. We desire after your word, Lord. We thank you that your word lives in us. We thank you that we search after it as choice gold and silver. We thank you for revealing it to us, Lord. It is so hidden by you that we have no hope outside of your spirit to actually know it and believe it as it is. So we ask you, Lord, to give us this grace, to work this grace in our heart. Lord, we love your commandments, Lord. We love your precepts. We thank you for drawing us mightily after you, for anointing us to make you our hobby, your word our hobby, to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, so that the things of the world are very unimportant, but that they are all also provided to us through our seeking after you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you so much, saints, for joining us, and the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus, oh Jesus.